It's MLB draft season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Host Aram Layton brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every day. Subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceScotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me in the Spotify green room at StaceScotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. We will be recapping the weekend. It was an interesting one and a positive one from the Yankees side. They won the series against the Red Sox. They were actually able to win two games against the Red Sox. It was a good weekend overall. So we'll talk about all that stuff. Today's an off day. They have a break before they take on the Phillies, and I'll have the preview of that series tomorrow. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Thanks to the Yankees' COVID outbreak this weekend, the series against the Red Sox became a three-game series as opposed to a four-game series. The game that was postponed on Thursday will be made up at a later date. I don't have the date in front of me. I think it's August 17th. Does that sound correct? I don't even remember. But anyway, the series was a three-game series. The Yankees won two out of three. And as Meatloaf always says, especially when you consider the Yankees hadn't won a single game against the Red Sox heading into the series, two out of three definitely ain't bad. Now, I know there was a lot of talk about Saturday's game only being six innings because of the rain, and people were complaining, and Red Sox were making fun of the Yankees. Oh, the only way the Yankees can win a game against the Red Sox is if they call it after six innings. Last night's game was nine innings, and the Yankees won it 9-1 with a mostly AAA lineup, so what do you have to say about that? Yeah, nothing, exactly. So two out of three against the Red Sox is a very big deal for the Yankees. They needed this kind of series coming into the second half. I'm doing that in air quotes because, you know, we're technically past that point, but we always say it's the second half because it's after the All-Star break. As I said on Friday's show, I believe it was Friday's show. I know I was bitching and moaning about COVID vaccines, but I believe I discussed the Yankees' schedule for the next couple of weeks, and it's tough. So today they have an off day. Tomorrow they play the Phillies. They'll play the Phillies for two. Then they go to Fenway to play four against the Red Sox, so things don't slow down. Then they play three against the Rays, and they head to Miami to play the Marlins for three the weekend of the 30th, 31st, and August 1st. So there is no let-up for the Yankees here. The good thing is they won their last two series in big ways. Yes, the series against the Astros didn't end in great fashion, but they still won two out of three in Houston and won the season series. They won two out of three this weekend. That's a big deal. They will need to win three out of four against Boston in Boston this coming weekend for it to be a success. They need this. They can't be doing a split. They definitely can't only win one, and they definitely, if they get swept in four games, they're in deep trouble. Now, it's funny, I was recording a podcast earlier with a couple of people, and we looked at all of the divisions and tried to figure out who was going to win the divisions, you know, looking at the second half, which teams were going to make moves, this and that. And out of all the divisions, the AL East is the most competitive, which people always mention because it's true. If you look across baseball, I found this to be the most interesting thing. Every team in the lead in the American League, Boston, the White Sox, Astros, all have 56 wins. In the National League, Milwaukee has 56 wins. The Giants have 58 wins. And then you look at the NL East, and the NL East leading New York Mets only have 48 wins. So while the AL East, because really, at this point in the AL East, the Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, and Red Sox, any one of those four teams can go on a run and win the division at this point. Because there's still a chance the Yankees can do that. I know people will think that I'm looking at things through pinstripe glasses, but this team has not really fired on all cylinders yet. And I feel like they still can. Things aren't over yet. And then you look at the NL East. And not that these teams are terrible, but they're all bunched together. The only team that really is far out is Miami. They're 40 and 53. They're 9.5 back. But they are the only last place team in any division in baseball who is within 10 games of the first place team. In the AL East, Baltimore is 25 back of Boston. In the Central, Kansas City is 19 back of the White Sox. In the West, Texas is 20.5 behind Houston. Marlins 9.5 behind the Mets. Pittsburgh is 19 behind Milwaukee. And poor Arizona, my goodness, they're 32.5 games behind the Giants. They're just awful. They're the worst team in baseball. They're 27-68. So it's interesting looking at the AL East compared to the NL East. And it'll be, I think the only team out of the entire league, and there's two, I don't see the Astros relinquishing their first place lead over Oakland in the West. I also do not see the White Sox relinquishing their lead at all. They're 8 games ahead of Cleveland. They're just so much better than the other teams in their division that I don't see, unless something catastrophic happens, of course, which I don't wish that on anyone, but I don't see them giving up that lead. In the NL West, San Francisco is a game up on the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and I had predicted them to win the NL West. We'll see how that happens. But my point is, the AL East is the one division where you still cannot pick a clear winner. You really can't. Any one of these teams can go on a roll. Boston can fall back. I know they're getting Chris Sale back, but they're playing way over their heads right now. And I can see them falling back. They're 4-6 in their last 10. They lost the last two against the Yankees. The Yankees had Greg Allen playing the outfield. They had 8 different outfielders playing this weekend because of all of the different issues that they're having between COVID and injuries. So, something to look out for. In a moment, we'll look back at Friday's game, discuss what happened, more to the point, what didn't happen, which is the Yankees scoring any runs and giving poor Jordan Montgomery any run support. We'll go into those numbers because they're crazy. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing. They're in the second half, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC, MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game. As the NBA Finals, Milwaukee. I don't know, a lot of people were saying Milwaukee in 6, even though they lost the first 2 games, you know, once they won the next 3. So they have one more game to go, and they could finish this thing. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's talk about Friday, because Friday was not a good night for the Yankees. Although, to be fair, the Red Sox, you know, they scored 4 runs on only 5 hits. you know, Montgomery had a bit of a rough second inning there. And that was really, you know, aside from J.D. Martinez hitting like a garbage time home run in the eighth inning, because at that point you knew the Yankees weren't scoring anything. You know, the Yankees were so bad, they were only 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position because no one really made it. Yeah, Montgomery wasn't terrible, but the Yankees batters have not, you know, here we go. We'll do numbers. He pitched 6 innings. He only gave up 3 runs on 3 hits. You know, 1 home run to Arroyo. Walked 2, struck out 4. So not terrible. That's a quality start. But he fell to 3-5 because his offense couldn't do anything. LeMahieu had a hit, Odor had a hit, and Greg Allen, who pinch hit for Ambergy because Ambergy... was that the game he hurt himself? It was Friday that he hurt himself? I thought he hurt himself. I don't know. All these guys are dropping like flies. Even the new guys. Tim LoCastro, speedy Tim LoCastro, tore his ACL this weekend. So he's done. It's comical at this point. If guys aren't catching COVID, they're pulling things. It's ridiculous. So yeah, they only had 3 hits all game. You can't win a game when you only have 3 hits, especially if none of them are of the extra base hit variety, which yes, they didn't even have a double. They were all singles. So yeah, just really bad. And let me double check because I could have sworn I bookmarked the tweet that one of the beat writers sent out about Montgomery, but because I'll do that because I want to talk about things on the show. And then I forget. No, I didn't. Son of a gun. I'm not going to say the actual word. I can't. So anyway, it was something to the effect of, I think the Yankees haven't scored for Jordan Montgomery in his last 4 starts. Or maybe it was a run. It's really bad. They don't give him run support. Oh my God, it's even worse. I just looked it up. The Yankees have given him 0 runs of support in his last 5 starts. The last run they scored for him was June 15th against the Blue Jays. It's July 19th. That's absurd. That's really bad. My goodness. And, you know, even Gerrit Cole was lucky that the Yankees scored for him on Saturday. We'll get into that game in a bit. But poor Jordan Montgomery. Again, quality start. Yeah, it wasn't great. He gave up those 3 runs to Boston early in the game. But you'd expect the team to do something in that game. And they just didn't. Especially, you know, Eduardo Rodriguez is not that great a pitcher. And the Yankees either hit him or they can't do anything against him. And Friday was one of those nights they just couldn't do anything against him. So they lose 4-0. They're 0-7 against the Red Sox at this point in the season. And you're thinking, will they win a game at all? Then you look and see Cole is starting. And you're thinking, okay, considering how he pitched last weekend, maybe he'll give us a good outing. Then you think, well, we saw what he did in Fenway against the Red Sox, and that wasn't very fun. So which Gerrit Cole was going to show up on Saturday? Well, thankfully for Yankee fans, it was pretty much not the same exact Gerrit Cole that showed up in Houston, but pretty damn close. So let's move on to Saturday's game, because that was a big... there was a big issue about that game. One, the weather was absolutely crappy. There was already a delay. And the weather around here in the New York area was just not fun for anyone. And then the controversy was that the game ended after 6 innings. You know, this isn't the first time a game has ended after 6 innings because of rain. And a lot of Red Sox fans were joking that the only way the Yankees could beat the Red Sox is if they end the game after 6. And then last night happens. But before we get into last night, let's talk about Saturday. So, Gerrit Cole against Eovaldi, who is annoying me, by the way, because, you know, why couldn't he pitch like this with the Yankees? Why do these guys leave the Yankees and pitch well? Oh, I know why. At first, I used to think it was a Larry Rothschild problem there for a while, where guys would leave him and do well. I feel like Matt Blake is doing a better job. I like Matt Blake, and I hope that, you know, if things don't work out for the Yankees this year and, you know, they miss out on the playoffs, that they don't fire him. The rest of the coaching staff can go, but I would like for them to keep Matt Blake. So anyway, Eovaldi, 5 innings, 1 run on 2 hits, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Yeah. The Yankees only had 5 hits. The Red Sox only had 5 hits. But the Yankees, 5 hits, out of those 5 hits, 2 of them were home runs. Gary Sanchez and Gleyber Torres went back-to-back in the 6th inning. And this was a big deal because the game was tied at that point 1-1. The rain was coming down. The Yankees needed those 2 runs, especially because it was an official game at that point and it looked like the weather wasn't letting up. And then they go back-to-back. And that's a big key for Gleyber Torres. He had 2 home runs this weekend. He now has 4 on the year. And I believe that the stat was he had 1 home run in his previous 42 games before this series, and then 2 home runs in his last 2. So, he's hitting the ball in the air more. This is a big deal, because the past 2 seasons, 2020 and 2021, his ground ball rate has gone up and his fly ball rate has gone down. It almost completely flipped from the year that he had all those home runs in 2019. So, to see him hitting the ball in the air, even if he doesn't get a good result, is better than seeing him hit ground balls, if that makes sense. And I think it does. So the Yankees score 3 runs on 5 hits. They win the game 3-1. Gerrit Cole pitches all 6 innings, gives up 1 run on 5 hits, walks 2, strikes out 11. So any questions that anyone had about how Gerrit Cole was going to do because of the sticky stuff situation and how he would adapt, he seems to be adapting because he has beaten 2 of the Yankees' foes in big fashion, I guess you can say. You know, he held the Red Sox to 1 run. He shuts out the Astros. I think he's going to be fine. I think that he's adapted well now. He needed a few starts to get to this point. But I feel like we're at the point again where we don't have to worry about Gerrit Cole. And I hope I didn't just jinx him. In a moment, we'll discuss Sunday Night Baseball. Because the Yankees, that was an unexpected result. I don't care what anyone says. There is no way that you could have predicted that game last night. There were a bunch of things that happened that we'll talk about that we didn't expect last night. But first, it's time for me to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? You have coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, my favorite, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. And then when you figure out what your favorite is, just buy boxes of it, like I do with mint brownie. Built Bars are high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, high in taste. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team for the Olympics. That's pretty cool. So if you go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, I recommend the mixed box. You get to try everything, see what you like. There really is something for everyone. If you like something fruity, you get strawberry, orange, or raspberry. If you like things chocolatey, get mint brownie, double chocolate, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. Again, use our promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Let's discuss last night's game, because as I said, teasing this, no one expected this result. I don't care who you are. If someone told you that on Sunday Night Baseball against the Red Sox, Jameson Taillon on the hill, half the team sick with COVID, that the Yankees would win the game 9-1, you would look at them like they were crazy. But that is what happened last night. So let's get into it. So Jameson Taillon has been doing well his last few starts. He seems to be coming around. Now, he didn't last as long as I would have wanted him to.
That's what she said!
5 1/3. Oh, 5 1/3. 5 1/3. He threw 91 pitches, so the pitch count was kind of high. He didn't give up a run, though, in those 5 1/3 innings, so that's good. He also only gave up 4 hits. He walked 2, only struck out 3, so it wasn't exactly a dominating performance, but the no runs against the Red Sox thing is a big deal. Actually, the only Yankee to give up a run was Zach Britton. Zach Britton didn't look great last night. Boone had to come and get him, and then Lecky had to come in, and he gave up a hit that was charged to Britton, because Britton was the one who put the guys on base, and then everything was fine. Gleyber Torres hit another home run, so he's up to 5. Rougui Odor hit his 10th home run. And Ryan Lamar, who nearly killed himself running into the wall and nearly was another outfield casualty, hits a home run. I mean, it was kind of a garbage time home run, but, you know, it was a home run nonetheless and gave the Yankees a 9-1 lead, which allowed Aroldis Chapman to come in because, as I keep joking on the show, that anything below, I would say, a 5-run lead is too small for Aroldis Chapman. And it turns out that an 8-run lead was good enough, and he pitched a clean inning. So, good for him. Yesterday was the game that Ambergy hurt himself. All these games are confusing to me. He pulled his, strained his hamstring, because of course he did, and then Gardner had to come in and take his place. He was playing right field. And Lamar had to move from left field to right field. And Greg Allen had to move from center field to left field. Yes, Greg Allen, who had a hit in 2 at-bats and a walk and a run batted in. Odor had 2 runs batted in. Lamar, 2 runs batted in. Their home runs were of the 2-run variety. Torres's was a solo home run, but again, him hitting the ball in the air is a big deal. He also had 2 walks. That's another big deal. You want him to get on base. Actually, the Yankees had 7 walks yesterday. 7 walks to 8 strikeouts. That's a pretty good ratio. So they had a pretty good all-around game. There was some small ball happening there. It wasn't just the home runs that gave them the runs. Odor did some stuff besides that home run. And pitching-wise, other than Tyone, oh yes, Chad Green, 1 2/3. A walk, 3 strikeouts. As I said, Britton, 2/3 of an inning. He was charged that run. He walked 2, struck out 2. Lecky gave up the hit that scored the 1 run. Obviously not charged to him because it was Britton. And then Chapman came in and closed the door. 1 inning, no hits, no runs, a strikeout. So, yeah, the Yankees were able to win a 9-inning game against the Red Sox. It almost feels in a way that Sunday was kind of karma for the Red Sox fans who were goofing on the Yankees on Saturday, saying that the only reason they won is because the game was 6 innings. Then the Yankees come out again, depleted, and they basically played the kind of game that the Red Sox had been playing against them all season, if that makes sense. It was almost like they were flipped around last night, which was good to see from a Yankees perspective. I cannot end the show without mentioning that yesterday was the 22nd anniversary of David Cone's perfect game. And what was pretty cool about it was the days of the week lined up with 1999. So it was a Sunday, just like it was in 1999. The weather was sort of similar, but not quite. I think Saturday was a little more similar weather-wise, just gross and hot and rain. And, you know, that's how it was on that day. It was really hot on July 18th, 1999. I mean, you can see it in the video of him collapsing to the ground because he is just bright red and sweaty because it was disgusting that day. So anyway, 22 years ago, that's crazy. 22 years. Oh my God. David Cone's perfect game has been able to drink for a year. Legally. That's when you think about it, that's just wild. So to recap, the Yankees beat the Red Sox 2 out of 3. So there will not be a season sweep by the Red Sox. Not that anyone actually expected that to happen. Even the Orioles won a couple of games against the Yankees in 2019. Although the Yankees, actually, I think what's funny about that is the first series that the Yankees and Orioles played, the Orioles won 2 out of 3, and then the Yankees won the rest of the games and finished 17-2 against them in 2019. So, yeah, there was no way that the Red Sox were going to sweep the Yankees in this season series. And, you know, they have a lot more games to play against each other, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, today's an off day. The Yankees have time to prepare to play the Phillies for 2 games at home tomorrow and Wednesday. Then they get to head on to Fenway for 4 more games against the Red Sox. They have another day off, I believe, right? Next Monday, the The schedule is so odd. And then they play the Rays for three and the Marlins for three. So this is a tough stretch for the Yankees. We'll see how they do. I think no matter what happens, they'll still be buyers at the deadline. I don't see the Yankees selling anything off. They still think that they can at least, well, you know what? The Yankees still think they can win the division. And, you know, why not? Anything can happen. So I will have a full preview of the Philly series on tomorrow's show. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.